greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Horse riding isn't new to Southern Africans. Many in countries like Lesotho, South Africa, and Zimbabwe ride in their villages or patrol the farms they work on horseback. But polo is a pursuit generally played by rich elites across the world and mostly by super wealthy whites. However, in South Africa, this is changing. The sport's attracting growing numbers of black Africans who are shattering the stereotypes. Darren Taylor has this feature for the Sunny Side of Sports in the second part of a series on fringe sports gaining support in South Africa.
The one thing I like about these South African players, they play a really good classic four-man polo. They know where
TV commentary from a South Africa versus England polo match. The game's played on a very big field. Two teams, each with four players, try to outmaneuver one another on horseback. With long wooden mallets, they try to score more goals than their opponents by hitting a small plastic ball through goalposts.
Polo is expensive. It really is. It's because of the number of horses that we have and the quality of horse flesh that we have and the time that we take to prepare our horses, and that's where the big cost lies, you know.
Craig James is polo manager at the Nanda Club in Johannesburg. He says in the past, only South Africa's white elite could afford to play the game.
In South Africa, a lot of the polo players were from polo-playing families, so farmers traditionally. And if you weren't born into a polo family, it's unlikely that you would have been exposed to polo or had the opportunity to play.
But by allowing far less privileged people to use his club's horses and equipment, James is changing the sport's image. Lakheden Singor leads horses to a field to train them. He's part of a new, albeit small, wave of black polo players in South Africa. He's a former groom at the Inanda Club. Singor was raised on a farm near Bulawayo, Zimbabwe.
I love horses because I grew up with horses. And then I started to ride horses when I was 9. Now my level of experience riding is 15 years riding in horses.
Nsingor's knowledge and love of horses made him ideal for James's polo development program. Nsingor puts a bridle on a horse and prepares to ride. He's a tall, slender man. He wears a helmet covered in camouflage print, skin-tight tan pants, and long, shiny brown leather boots. Because of men like Nsingor, says James, there's now black muscle on South Africa's formerly lily-white polo fields.
Going forward, how the perception's changing is by involving guys like Lucky. Lucky's really critical to the success of my operation here at the Inanda Club. Without him, I couldn't do it. He's got some children that he's coaching, so he functions as my assistant coach.
Nsingor guides horses on a gallop around a dirt track. He says up until about a year ago, all he knew about polo was that it was a Ralph Lauren clothing label, until James taught him the game that's now his passion.
I had someone teach me very good to have some rules and stuff like that, like Craig, how we stick with the man, how we play, how he goes, how this and this. So I'm very happy about it. I did very good because it's the thing I never done before.
Nsingor says his relatives and friends often don't know what to say when he tells them he's a polo player.
No, they don't know what it is, but they're really excited because polo is all over the world.
As an agitated horse kicks a stable door for food before crunching a carrot, Nsingo explains he's now teaching the next generation of African polo players.
I've got some young ones coming up, some young juniors, so I'm looking forward to teach them to have some skills. I hope to have more teaching the young ones to grow up and show us the skills.
James describes Nsingo and his pupils as polo pioneers.
The transformation is kind of happening where we're showcasing more of these guys that are coming from a bit more humble beginnings. And also through the school initiative, we're now making polo accessible because you no longer have to own five or six horses just to get started. You could come to Unanda and learn how to play rather than having to buy the whole setup and then...
His dream is for polo to be a game played by many black Africans, not just the current few. But for that, James needs more quality, expensive horses.
And that is a limiting factor at the moment, which we are slowly but surely overcoming. And, you know, we're finding sponsors that are getting behind these initiatives and saying, look, let's get behind a guy and push him all the way to the top and see how far he can go.
In the near future, James wants his trainees to compete internationally, including at the Polo World Cup. He's convinced this will happen, especially if South Africa's new elite offers support.
I think if you look at the wealthy in this country now, a lot of these guys are black guys. Very, very good businessmen, leaders of the industry. Having more black players playing will involve more of these guys.
He also wants to get poor kids off the streets and onto polo horses while educating them academically at the same time.
They may not become professional polo players. I'm fine with that. But if we've bettered their life and they meet someone through polo in the industry, which puts them in some fancy corporate job one day, you know, that's the ultimate goal.
For now, it's only a few men like Nsingo who are kick-starting Africa's polo revolution. But the so-called sport of kings may eventually see new, unexpected faces ascending the throne. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
The Voice of America. VOA.
English Premier League football news now on the VOA. Manchester City fears Brazilian teenager Gabriel Jesus could miss the rest of the season after hurting his foot early in Monday's 2-0 road victory over Bournemouth. The 19-year-old Jesus was wearing a protective boot over his right foot and walking using crutches in Manchester City Center on Tuesday, less than 24 hours after being injured. He's expected to be sidelined for 3 months with a broken bone in his foot. Jesus joined Man City last month from the Brazilian club Palmeiras. The striker started on the Brazil team that won the gold medal at last year's Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. Meanwhile, Manchester City moved into second place in the Premier League, 8 points behind Chelsea, with that 2-0 win at Bournemouth. Raheem Sterling's 29th-minute strike and an own goal in the 69th minute from Tyrone Mings earned Man City a third consecutive league win. Bournemouth is now in 14th place in the 20-club EPL with 26 points, 6 points from the relegation zone. Taking a look at the very top of the EPL table, the Blues of Chelsea lead with 60 points from 25 matches. Manchester City has 52 points, and Tottenham and Arsenal have 50 points each. Liverpool is in fifth place with 49 points, and the other Manchester club, Man U, has 48 points. Some sad football news out of the 2016 Olympic city of Rio de Janeiro. The Brazilian club, Botafogo, has confirmed the death of a fan who was shot outside its stadium, the same venue used for athletics at the Olympics. The club and police identified the man as 28-year-old Diego Silva dos Santos, who was shot Sunday as rival fans clashed before the match between Botafogo and real rival Flamengo.
Oh.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
This is Dikeme Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
In National Basketball Association news, the host Denver Nuggets tied a league record by making 24 three-point shots Monday night when they beat the visiting Golden State Warriors 132-110. The Nuggets tied the three-point mark set by the Houston Rockets in December 2016 against the New Orleans Pelicans. For our VOA basketball fans keeping score, the Nuggets finished 24 of 40 from beyond the three-point shooting line. Denver's Serbian center Nikola Jokic didn't attempt any three-point shots, but the 21-year-old Jokic had a memorable game nonetheless. He recorded his second career triple-double, tallying 17 points, 21 rebounds, and 12 assists. Elsewhere, Croatian player Dario Saric came off the bench and had 18 points and 11 rebounds for the Philadelphia 76ers, who posted their third straight win, a 105-99 victory over the host Charlotte Hornets. In Texas, all-star point guard Isaiah Thomas tallied 29 points and 8 assists for the Boston Celtics, who beat the host Dallas Mavericks 111-98. Isaiah Thomas is one of the players selected for the NBA's annual All-Star Game on Sunday, February 19th, in New Orleans, Louisiana. Another All-Star, Kawhi Leonard, scored 32 points to help the San Antonio Spurs edge the Indiana Pacers 110-106. The victory clinched the NBA record 20th consecutive season for the Spurs. San Antonio has had a winning record every season since 1997-1998, when the now-retired Tim Duncan was a rookie. The Spurs lead the NBA's Southwest Division with a record of 42 wins and 13 losses. And let's give a sunny side of sports shout-out for another NBA division leader, my beloved Washington Wizards. The Southeast Division leading Wizards won their 33rd game of the season Monday night when they beat the visiting Oklahoma City Thunder 120-98. All-star point guard John Wall had 15 points and 14 assists for the Wizards. Now, one all-star who surely will get some big cheers at the All-Star Game in New Orleans is big man Anthony Davis, who plays for the NBA club in New Orleans, the Pelicans. Anthony Davis scored a team-high 24 points and grabbed 10 rebounds Monday night when the Pelicans pulled out a 110-108 road victory over the Phoenix Suns. Davis scored 6 consecutive points for the Pelicans, the last 2 coming on a go-ahead rebound basket with about 40 seconds left in the game. Anthony Davis, one of the young stars in the National Basketball Association. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is the Voice of America's social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings to you as well, Sonny.
February 14th, Valentine's Day. Is love in the air, Andrew?
Love is in the air on Valentine's Day today, and we're going to talk about some situations where there's some love going on in the sports world, and we're going to start with the love for winning. Of course, this is a drive that all athletes have, but the University of Connecticut women's basketball team has taken their love of winning to a whole new level. That's because last night they beat the University of South Carolina women's basketball team 66-55, and in doing so, notched their 100th consecutive we can't talk today. We're tongue-tied today. 100th consecutive victory
in
college basketball. Now, they already had the University of Connecticut women's basketball team set the record for the most consecutive wins in college basketball with 90 wins back several years ago. Now they've not only bested that, but they've gotten to 100. A streak, just to give you the dates and put this in perspective, it started on November 23rd, 2014. It's been 814 days since the University of Connecticut women's basketball team has last lost. So quite a streak, quite a love for the game and a love for winning. Winners of the last 4 national championships. I'm sure they'd love to go for that 5-peat, the 5th national championship this year, and it looks like they're well on their way to doing so. And the fans love it too, noting history has been made. They're even making the historic seem routine, and something that no other team has done, male or female, really notching their place in history. So really great accolades for them and really great accomplishments for the University of Connecticut women.
Andrew, let's show some love on Valentine's Day to Gino Auriemma, the head coach of the University of Connecticut women's basketball team. I mentioned last year's Rio Olympics. Coach Auriemma was in charge of the USA's women's team in Rio de Janeiro. He led them to the gold medal. He also coached the gold medal winning USA in 2012 as well as in 2000. So he's achieving success not just here at the collegiate level, but also at the international level.
Yeah, there's a lot of love for Gino Auriemma, not just from his team, but from other coaches as well. In fact, there was one tweet I saw where Rutgers coach C. Vivian Stringer, herself an incredibly accomplished women's basketball coach, compared Gino Auriemma to Bill Belichick, the coach of the New England Patriots, for the dominance that he's had. So high praise for Gino Auriemma and his team and their accomplishments over these past about 3 years or so.
Andrew, who else are you showing love for on Valentine's Day?
Well, in the athletics world, it's not just love for winning. It's also love for family. And we're seeing that from one of baseball's greatest players, Derek Jeter. He and his wife, Hannah Davis, have announced that they are expecting a girl. So they will have their first child sometime later this year. And actually announced by Derek Jeter's wife, Hannah Davis, on a website called the Players Tribune, which was founded by Derek Jeter a few years ago, giving the chance for athletes to kind of talk about their experiences and share that with fans. So she wrote an essay for that website called The Derek I Know. And featured in that essay was a photo of Derek Jeter holding a bouquet of pink balloons. And that was okay. How they made that announcement that they're expecting a girl. So she talks about in this essay how excited they are for their daughter to arrive. Now, that essay and that announcement is getting a lot of attention. So is Hannah Davis, because Hannah Davis is a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. And weeks after she found out that she was pregnant, she posed for Sports Illustrated, and a lot of people noting that she looks better than they will ever look in their lives, and she's pregnant. So it's congratulations, lots of congratulations to her on that. But just lots of excitement about this in the sports world from Jeter's fans, and more than one tweet that I've seen uses the phrase "baby bomber." Of course, the
bomber,
the Yankees,
like
where Jeter played his entire career, known as the Bronx Bombers. So maybe hoping that they'll have an athlete offspring. We'll see if their daughter excels. Maybe she'll be on the University of Connecticut women's basketball team.
Go.
You never know.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. What else is trending on Valentine's Day, Andrew?
Well, one of the other big loves for athletes is love for their friends and their colleagues. However, sometimes that doesn't always work out. There can be a lot of contentious rivalries going on in sports. And as we heard last week from our colleague Doug Johnson, there was some little bit of contentiousness with the New York Knicks, specifically with Charles Oakley, one of the former Knick greats, and James Dolan, who I believe is the president of the Knicks. Charles Oakley getting actually ejected from Madison Square Garden where the Knicks played. It was kind of an ugly scene. And Dolan saying that he wouldn't be allowed back to Madison Square Garden. So a lot of contentiousness and unhappiness among fans as they heard that story. Well, we have a peacemaker who's trying to rekindle the love, or at least try to tamp down some of the displeasure between Charles Oakley and James Dolan. And it's none other than Michael Jordan.
MJ.
MJ, of course, he himself, one of the greatest basketball players ever, if not the greatest, playing peacemaker, working with the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, to try to get James Dolan and Charles Oakley together to try to reconcile. So a nice thing to do, you know, around Valentine's Day, trying to get some, like I said, if not love, at least, you know, tamp down some of the displeasure. A lot of people thrilled to see that Michael Jordan is taking on this leadership role, along with Adam Silver, showing great maturity to step in and do this, showing that they care and love about these, their care and love for these two people. They want them to get along and not have this feud continue. And so we're seeing a lot of positive reaction to that and a lot of hope that the feud doesn't go on. It was something that captured a lot of attention, but nobody likes to see that kind of ugliness in sports. They want to see kind of the back and forth on the court. They don't want to see that going on outside of sports. And my favorite was somebody put on social media a picture of Adam Silver photoshopped to be wearing a referee uniform. So doing a little bit of refereeing for the commissioner and MJ, trying to step in and help out a little bit as best they can.
And I think from a geographic standpoint, our VOA listeners might know, but the NBA has its headquarters in New York City. So Adam Silver seeing all that contentiousness at nearby Madison Square Garden, that must have grated him a little bit.
I think so. And actually, another sports fact, standing right by Charles Oakley when all of that incident went down was John McEnroe. He was there watching the game courtside, of course, the great tennis player. So he got a front row view. John McEnroe himself, known for being a contentious player on the court, yelling at chair umpires and that kind of thing. But he was very quiet and kind of stood back, stepped away. So no anger from McEnroe, at least not on this occasion.
Andrew, any more love out there in the sports world with about a minute to go in the show?
Well, we're talking about love in the sports world. We got to finish with Kevin Love, of course.
Kevin Love,
Cleveland Cavaliers center. Of course, anytime there's anything love related, Kevin Love always gets mentioned because of his name. Unfortunately, on this Valentine's Day, there's a lot of talk about Kevin Love's knee, injuring his knee. There's a lot of questions about when he might return to that team. And unfortunately for Cavaliers fans hoping to see some love on Valentine's Day, they will not have that chance this evening. Kevin Love will not be playing in tonight's game or tomorrow's game, for that matter. Questionable about when he might return. So sending some love and positive vibes towards Kevin Love as he rehabs that knee, hoping that he'll be better soon, maybe within the next week after the All-Star game this weekend.
We'll show some love to Kevin Love. I know the Cavaliers need him in the lineup, I think, if they want to get that title again.
They would love to have him back. And that's all I'll say about that. I'll leave the puns there.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. And that wraps up the February 14th Valentine's Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let me show some love to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thank you, Bill. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As the emergency in the south of Madagascar continues into the lean season between harvests, the United States government has donated an additional $2.7 million to emergency relief. There are still nearly a million desperate people who don't have enough to eat. Right now, as we head into the heart of the lean season, when people are suffering the most is when more action is needed by all parties, said U.S. Ambassador Robert Yamate. Ambassador Yamate stressed the importance of a formal emergency declaration from Madagascar, which could open up more options for the international community to respond and provide more aid for relief efforts. The funds were provided by USAID's Office of Food for Peace and will be used to buy food supplies, including rice and green peas, to be distributed to communities without enough to eat. Since 2014, the United States government has been the leading contributor to emergency assistance in southern Madagascar, providing over $39 million of assistance and food supplies. Through USAID, the U.S. government has funded the work of Catholic Relief Services, the World Food Program, the Adventist Development and Relief Agencies, and others. These organizations have also worked together to ensure that relief efforts are coordinated and have supported each other to cover any gaps in food supplies. Through these organizations, the U.S. is funding the delivery of life-saving food aid, seeds to grow new crops, farm supplies and tools, livestock and training in animal husbandry, and specialized nutritious supplements to prevent starvation among malnourished children and pregnant and lactating women. The late arrival of rains is expected to delay the harvest season by another 5 to 8 weeks, and additional support is needed to carry these communities through this extended lean season, said USAID Mission Director Michelle Godet. The $2.7 million we have announced will be provided to the World Food Program and will allow them to continue activities that are feeding 260,000 people daily.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, Africa. This is James Brotte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world. And you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.